you two places, if you would. I want you turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Put your finger there and go to John chapter 14. Mark chapter 4 and John 14. I'm going to read in Mark chapter 4, and I want you to keep your fingers there. Then we're going to go John 14, and I'm going to come back to Mark 4. In Mark chapter 4, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Bible says, in the same day, when the evening was come, He is speaking about Jesus. He saith unto them, let us pass over where? To the other side. So Jesus comes to his disciples. He said, we're going to pass over to the other side. The Bible says in verse 36, and when they sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, Peace be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Now keep your finger there and go with me to John chapter 14. Most of you could quote this verse, but I'm going to read it. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now let me say this while we're here. Everybody has troubled hearts at times in different ways. And sometimes you look, you say, I don't know why they can't handle this. People deals with troubled hearts in different ways. Some things trouble some people that doesn't trouble others. When other things may. Sometimes we have, and notice here, what's the first two words there in John chapter 14, verse 1? Then who does God put in control of having a troubled heart? Let not your hearts be troubled. In other words, he doesn't say, your heart's not going to be troubled. He said, don't let them. Let not your hearts be troubled. There will be trouble, but don't let your hearts be troubled. What's a cure, he says? You believe in God? Believe also in me. Turn back, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. When we stroll through the Bible, we find some great men of God troubled. This morning we preached about John the Baptist. Jesus said that there was not a greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. And you know there was a time in Luke chapter 7 that John was troubled about who Jesus was. Was he truly the Messiah? Now he emphatically declared him as the Lamb of God already. He also saw the Spirit descend upon him. He knew that he was truly the Son of God. But what happened was, he was put in prison. He was going to have his head cut off because he had rebuked Herod about his marriage. And so therefore, his stepdaughter had asked to have John the Baptist's head on a platter. That was going to happen unless God intervened. And so John asked two of his disciples, go ask Jesus. Was he really the one, or did they need to look for others? And he told them, he said, you just go back and tell them what you see me do. Because what he was doing was all the signs of the Messiah Jesus was doing. He was binding the brokenhearted, healing the sick. He was able to do all these things. And so he said, you just go back and tell them that what you see me do. He was healing the blind, causing the blind to see. He was causing the deaf to hear. He was causing all these things to take place. Binding up the brokenhearted, freeing those that were in prison. Did you know there's some people that imprisons themselves with fear? Some people are fearful. They are so afraid. Did you know that one of the groups listed in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, one of the groups that's in hell are the fearful. That fearful is those that are fearful of making a decision for Christ because they're afraid what everybody else will think about them. They're fearful of how they'll be perceived. But the fearful I'm talking about is those that's facing certain things in their life. As I said, some people, they handle things differently. Some people with their finances, they worry themselves to death. Some people worry themselves about health. Some people worry themselves about family. Some people worry themselves about the future. Some people worry themselves about death. Some people, that's just every little thing. Some people worry about their enemies or foes. Some people worry about failures. And we all have failures. Sometimes we make classic failures. And some people spend all their life being fearful of those things. But Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, as I said, you know, people has different ways of responding. The opposite of a troubled heart is a trusting heart. The opposite of a fearful heart is a faithful heart. Faith is the opposite of fear. Trust is the opposite of troubled. And sometimes when we are so troubled about something, we are failing to trust. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, perfect peace has he whose mind is stayed upon me because he trusteth in me. The key of getting rid of a troublesome heart is to trust. And so Jesus said there in John chapter 14, he was fixing to go away. The disciples are going to be left. They're going to see him hanging on the cross. They're going to have all kinds of things going on in their lives. Some are going to be threatening their lives. Some are going to give their lives. And he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You are in control of it. You believe in God, you believe also in me. Trust. Now, saying all that, let me say this. Keep your finger there in Mark chapter 4. You can let go of that one in John 14. Go with me, book of Psalms chapter 27. We see in the Bible Moses fearful. We see David fearful. At times we see Paul, one of the greatest missionaries. And so don't feel it strange when we are fearful about certain things. Somebody said, well, I didn't know those men ever was afraid. Moses one time was so disgusted with what the people were doing. And he was so troubled. He had such a troublesome time. Everybody has different troubled hearts. In Psalms chapter 27, notice if you would, in verse number 17. David says this. I'm sorry. It's not, I wrote the wrong one down. Let me see. I believe it's not 17. There's not 17 verses. Where is, just a second. I've got you in the wrong place. Let me find the verse I had that I wanted to share with you. Let's see here. Let's see. Yes. Thank you. How'd you know that? Because this old one had 17 verses around there. Look, if you would, in verse number 17 of chapter 25. The troubles of my heart are what? Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Now, he says, look upon my affliction and my pain, forgive all my sins. Now, notice something. What does he say that was enlarged? Look back. He didn't say his problems was enlarged. His trouble was enlarged. If you got a problem, it's a constant thing. In other words, whatever you got, you got. That's the problem you got. The thing that enlarges it is your trouble. When you're troubled about it, it enlarges. Say, for instance, you're troubled about it and you can't sleep at night. Say, for instance, you're troubled about something and you're just all stressed out. Say, for instance, you're troubled about something and you're just taking it out on everybody around you. Say, for instance, you're troubled about it and you just draw up and withdraw and disappear from society. Your problem hasn't changed, but your troubles are enlarged because you've let your heart be troubled. And so David says here, my troubles are enlarged. Look again, if you would, keeping your finger there in Mark chapter 4. And go with me, if you would, just a moment to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians number 4, very familiar verse. But sometimes when we talk about troubled hearts, we just need to read what God says. In Philippians chapter 4, notice in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. That means be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by what? And with? Let your request be made known unto where? And the what? Which passeth all understanding shall what? You think a troubled heart is a kept heart? When you don't allow yourself to get anxious, you trust God. He said he shall keep your hearts and your what? Minds through Christ Jesus. See, right here gets to be a big problem we have when we're troubled. Sometimes we worry about what everybody thinks. Sometimes we worry about what people are saying. Sometimes we think, well, when they're sitting over there talking, they're talking about me. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But if you be troubled about it, you just enlarge your trouble, you not solve the problem at all. You understand what I'm saying? Our problems are constant problems. Somebody said, well, you know, a while back I had face issue with getting stents. Doctor said, well, what do you want to do? You want to go ahead and get them? I said, yeah, if they need to be got, let me get them. No use going, doing anything else. Let's get it over with. No sense in dwelling on it. Just got to face it. Sometimes you have an issue come up. Somebody said, well, I lost my job. We'll get out and search for another one. Can't do a thing about it. But if you get all upset and you spend all your time, one time I had to fire a guy. I fired a guy. Some people may know. Mark would have known him if he'd been here this morning. I had to fire a guy, and he was something else. And he sued me for age discrimination. He's 42 years old. And you have to be over 40 to get age discrimination. Well, he wasn't successful, but he sued me in 13 different places. Cost me $38,000 to prove that I was justified in firing him in all 13 places. Took me 2.5 years. I love government. Oh, that's the thing I miss. That's the thing I miss most about getting out of that job is the way government operates. You could do it in a tenth of the cost, and you could do it in a 50th of time. if they just let you go ahead and do your thing that you need to be done. But anyway, he decided to devote his whole life trying to make my life miserable. And at first, he began to be successful because I stayed troubled about it. He would show up somewhere I was at, he'd do something, and I'd let it get to me. Then one night I was laying in bed and my whole spirit was troubled. And I asked myself this, why do I want to do this? It is what it is. Face it with a different approach and quit worrying about it. And that night I gave it over. I did not worry about it, and to this day I've not worried about another day since. I decided that I was going to commit, not be anxious about it, and I was not going to enlarge my troubles. If he had a problem, he couldn't get over it. I called him one time. He went to the hospital right after that, had a heart attack. I went to talk to him, and I sent word. I said, can I come in and talk to you about your soul? I'm worried about you dying without Christ. He didn't want me to be nowhere near him. Then he went back out, and he had a cardiac arrest. Those of you know what that means. Well, my staff went and picked him up. They had to start CPR and begin working a cold on him out there. They resuscitated him in the field and got him back, and he was actually talking when he come in the ER. I went and got his wife, and I'll never forget, they got him out of the ambulance. He passed by. I was standing there with his wife where I went and got her. He looked up, he said, call our lawyer, we're going to sue. That was his words as he went through the ER door. And he died a short time after that. Died without Christ. And you know, the sad part about it was this. My point was, I could let it be troubled. I could have troubled my heart. And had I stayed troubled, I would never try to approach him, and I would never went and got his wife. I would never have done that because I was not going to let his wrongdoing interfere with what I was doing. If I saw him, I treated him, I greeted him friendly, courteous, and I went about my business. I didn't send him Christmas cards or anything like that, but I was not in any way disrespectful or hateful or envious. It's awfully easy sometimes when you're going through something and someone's gouging, just let it just get under your skin. Trouble yourself. But look back in your Bibles again. Look back, if you would, in Mark chapter number 4. Let me ask you a couple questions. Now, remember that Jesus come and he took his disciples into this ship. The Bible says that when they went down there to get him, now you'll find this in Matthew chapter 8, and you'll find it again in Luke, I believe chapter 8, but I'm not sure. Luke somewhere. It says right here somewhere, but I'm looking at it right now. But anyway, the Bible says that the ship was about full of water because of the waves and the storm. Now, I'm confident that before they went down and woke up Jesus, and the Bible says in one of the Gospels that Jesus went down to go to sleep. He was tired. He had a physical body too, and he went down. And I'm sure that they tried their best to, all of them being professional fishermen, or many of them, they tried to row out of the storm. They tried to handle the storm to the best of their knowledge, and they tried every way in the world to fight that storm. I say by the time they went down to get Jesus, they were in desperation. They probably fought and did everything in their strength and their own ability, and they were wore out. Sometimes what we do is this. We have a problem, we wear ourselves completely out, trying to solve it ourselves. Then they went, and they went down. Now notice, if you would, in the Bible, when they went down, what did they say to him in verse 38? When they went down, they woke him up. What did they say? Master, careth not that we perish. What's the first word they said? Master of what? Master of, what is he the master of? What is he not the master of? Is he omnipotent, all-powerful? Is there anything Jesus can't do? Is there anything he doesn't know? Is there any place that he's not? You think he wasn't aware of what's going on with the disciples up there? The Bible says that he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He'd sit there and he'd run across a group of Sadducees and Pharisees. He knew what they were thinking before they ever said a word. He knew where he was going to find Zacchaeus up in a tree. He looked and he told Andrew, or he told Philip and Andrew and so forth, that he would meet them and he would tell them things about themselves. Matthew. He met the woman at the well. First time in life he ever met her. He done knew she'd been married five times, and a guy she's lived with was not her husband. What's he the master of? Well, he was definitely a master of the wind, because when he got up, he said, "Why are you so fearful?" He walked up there and he spoke to the wind and waved. Now, they ask him, look back if you would. Now they forget who was in the boat. It was the master of everything. Not only that, they forgot who they were. They were his disciples. Look, if you will, back in verse 38. "Master, carest not thou that we perish?" Do you think he cared? Sure he did. You think he cares about you? The Bible says that there's not a hair that drops from your head that he doesn't know the count of your hairs. Not a sparrow falls to the ground that Jesus doesn't know. So exactly what is it that you're so fearful for when you have Jesus? Does he not know? Can he not do what he wants to do if he wants to do it? Look what he says. The Bible says, "And he rose, he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them," what? Why are you so fearful? Didn't you understand? You've got the master with you. You say, "Preacher, what if something comes along in my life, I die?" Paul says far better. And by the way, he's one of the few that got to see up there before he died. He said, "I can't tell you, words can't explain it. They're unutterable. I can't find words to describe what I saw." But he said, "I'll tell you this, I'm between straight, between two. I know I need to be here, but it's far better off getting up there." Like John R. Rice said one time, you've heard me say this, he was preaching revival and this guy comes and he sticks a gun in his stomach. He says, "Your money or your life." He's a great old evangelist, started the Sword of the Lord. John Rice reached over and got a gun. He said, "Son, don't ever threaten me with heaven." And he went in there and he preached. The guy went in the other door, got saved that night. My point is this. A child of God, what do you got to fear when you got the master? You said, "Preacher, what if I lose my job?" Jesus told him in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and food, shelter, and all these things should be added to you." In other words, he says, all these things should be added to you. What do we have to fear? Well, preacher, what if this happens? What if that happens? Well, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't and you've allowed yourself to be so troubled that you cause yourself all these enlargements of your troubles? I tell Chris sometimes, I said, don't worry about what might happen, because most of the time it never happens. Why sit and worry about what could happen? Just take it a day at a time. Understand who's in your boat. Now, the next thing I want you to see is this. Look back in your Bibles. In verse 35, The Bible says the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them what? He done told them they was going to get there. All that fret about the storm, and they thought when the storm come that that changed the situation on them. Didn't change nothing. He done told them they was getting to the other side. That storm had nothing to do with it. But what it did was it challenged their faith. But Jesus, you know how much he was worried about the storm? He was fast asleep in the bottom boat. Now remember, the boat was filling up. Guess where he was? He's in the very bottom of it. But he done told me, he said, listen, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. You think there was anything in the world keep him from getting to the other side? Absolutely not. He done made a promise to him. He's made a promise to us too. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now look here just a moment. Let me show you a couple things. I'm going to close. Turn your Bibles, if you will, real quickly back to this book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 62. Hopefully I wrote down the right one this time. Psalm 62. Brother Don used to have a favorite verse. Any of you guys remember what Brother Don's favorite verse was? Huh? Trust in the Lord, right? Lean not to your own understanding, right? How many of you ever heard him say that? How many of you ever got tired of listening to him say that? He'd say it quite a bit sometimes. Psalm 62, look if you would, in verse number 8. Bible says, trust in him what? Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is what? He's a refuge for us. That's the wonderful thing about having God. When you have an issue, you pour your heart out to God. Not only that, look if you would in Psalms 56. Turn back a couple, Psalms 56. Notice chapter 56 in verse number 3. What time I am afraid, what? Even though he said I'm afraid, yeah, I'm fear. I don't know. I'm fearful. But he said, what time I'm afraid, I'm just going to trust. I'm not going to allow it to enlarge my troubles. I'm just going to trust. Look if you would in Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37. Let me get there. I'll turn too many pages. Psalm 37, look if you would in verse number 7. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and what? Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Look in verse 5. Commit thy way where? And do what? Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, Job had a tough time. When I think of going through trouble sometimes, I think of Job. Let's read this last verse in Job 23. Job chapter 23. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. The Bible says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He goes on, he says, my foot hath held his steps, his ways have I kept, and not declined. Tonight, what I want you to understand is this. All of us has troubles. All of us has ways that we try to deal with our troubled hearts. Different ones, if I have you stand right now, start Brother Junior and all the way back, Brother Junior can stand up and tell you some things that troubles his heart sometimes. He's got family that troubles his heart. Sometimes he's got neighbors that troubles his heart. Sometimes there's other things that troubles his heart. And I could go to Doris, and I could go all the way back through this, through there, and come back around to end up Brother Porter. And you'd be surprised sometimes at some things that troubles people's hearts. But remember this. Remember the promises that He's made us. Remember that He's in the boat. Remember that He is the Master. And remember that He can do anything He wants to do. And what He wants you to do is this. He wants you to have peace, not trouble. Don't become enslaved to your troubled heart. Trust in the Lord. Rest upon Him. Every one of us got things to face. Some of you have faced some things that I don't know how I would have faced if I'd faced them. But every one of us has to face things the same way. We have to face it one day at a time. And all the worry in the world doesn't change tomorrow. Prayer can change things. Worry just changes you. It just enlarges the problem you already have, and it enlarges your troubles. Trust in Him. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Isn't it wonderful to have the Master in ship with you? We're guaranteed that we're going to get on the other side. We don't know. We know the Bible says our soul is anchored in the Holy of Holies. We don't know how we're going to be tossed. Don't know how many storms we're going to have to endure. But we know this. The anchor is sure. It holds fast. It's not going to slip. We're committed. When it's all said and done, we'll reach the other side, because the Lord has promised us. And so therefore, if He comes back before we die, He'll take us with Him. But we've got nothing to fear. Tomorrow, we don't know, but the Bible says that we're not to commit about tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring. And so therefore, we can't boast of it. What we do is take one day as God gives us one day. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight. God's dealing your heart. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. He's not in your ship. You need to come. How about it?